Bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, again we thank you that we can come to you. I pray, O God, that as we listen to your word, that you will open our hearts and our minds to see what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture text for today is found in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 22. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Matthew 18, verses 15 through 22. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you as a heathen or a tax collector. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning everything that you ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, am I there in the midst of them. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. We see Jesus is talking here to the Christian, and he has gotten the people there that believe on him and that have him believing that he is the Son of God, the one that has come into the world to die for our sins and to be crucified on Calvary's cross, buried and rose again the third day, and making intercession today in heaven for you and for me. And so when Jesus is talking to the Christian here, and he is talking, if your brother sins against you, and he is talking about the individual, not necessarily a group. We could talk about the group also, but Jesus is talking about the individual. If someone sins against you, or if they, how to do this might be that they start a story about you, or maybe they heard something about you a long time ago about your life. And so they want to know, how can you be a Christian when you did so-and-so before you accepted Christ? And they don't stop to realize that when you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, he forgave you of all your sins, and he cast those sins from you, and they will be remembered no more. So Jesus tells them, he says, if your brother sins against you or has something against you and you alone, you go to him and you take and you try and reconcile the differences, and you ask what the problem is. And whether this problem is individually, or like I say, it could be a group such as in a home or in friendship even, and where we would see that something is going on that isn't quite right. And so we wonder why this difference. And we start feeling sorry for ourselves, and we say, poor me, someone is picking on me, and someone is doing so-and-so and talking about me and not listening to what I have to say. Therefore, poor me, instead of going and saying, Lord God, help me, through this situation. Help me to have the right words to say, the right words to speak. Help my brother that he may realize that what he is doing is not right, and that he should take and have consideration for me as his brother or sister in Christ, and not only as if it's in a family, it might be a son or a daughter or a wife and a husband or who knows what. But anyway, we realize that we are all brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus because we have him as our personal Lord and Savior. And we would see in our Old Testament lesson that was read that God is talking to not only the Israelites, but he's talking to us today. And he tells us to know that the Lord your God, he is God. He is the faithful one that keeps his covenant, and he will not break it. And we hear so many people today saying, you know, we are completely saved because we accepted Christ and we can do anything we want. And yet Paul says, you know, if meat makes my brother stumble, I will eat no meat, even though I have the liberty to do it, because it will make my younger or weaker brother stumble in the Lord and he may fall from grace. And we do not know when this will be or how certain people will look at it. And yet we see so many religions even today, they'll say you can't eat certain foods on certain days or you can't do this or you can't do that. And yet as a Christian, we know we have the liberty in Jesus Christ to do most all things as long as we're doing it in Christ and having him as our personal Lord and Savior. And when these things come then and our brother has something against us and has spoken against maybe the way we're living, and we go to them and they refuse to acknowledge that they said it, or they refuse to acknowledge that they might be wrong and you are right. And that is not to push the thing saying, I am right, therefore you must do what I say. It is saying, in Christ Jesus, we have a common barrier, and that's the cross of Christ. And we all must take up our cross daily and follow Jesus Christ and not think only of ourselves or what we might like to see or say. We can see many times when we go to our brother or sister that has wronged us, and they will refuse to recant or repent, and they will refuse to call upon Christ and ask Christ to help them see the error of their ways if what they have done is wrong. And as many of you know, that we will hear something, and if you tell someone else about it, pretty soon it's a gossip session that has gone from what actually happened to who knows what, a great big story, and it can hurt the Christian life of the one that has accepted Christ, especially recently, and is a weaker brother or sister in the Lord. And they will say, why should I go? Because after all they're going to do is talk about how I feel or what I have to say, if it's right or wrong. And we are told in Galatians that we are to take and go to our brother or sister in the Lord in gentleness and meekness, and we are to show them if they are wrong and what they are doing is wrong. But we are to do it in such a way, in the love of Christ, that we would not fall ourselves to the temptation that our brother or sister might have fallen into this temptation. We are to pray for them and to uphold them in the Lord as much as we can. And then he tells us, he says, if you can't reconcile your differences, you are to take one or two people with you so that the words will be witnessed on both sides of what is being said and how it is being said. You see, if we see our brother or sister wrong and doing something wrong, and we go to them demanding that they change, we will see that they most likely won't change, or they will put up a great argument or even a, I don't want to say a fight, but a very argument of disagreement with you. And so therefore, we should take and go to Christ first in prayer and remember that Jesus in prayer will help us. And we can look at how we're to forgive that person for what they have said and done. Because if we don't do that, we ourselves cannot be forgiven of our sins. And so if we were to look at the dictionary and to see what forgiveness really comes about, we can see it has many different ways. We can pardon them. We can tell them that we will not hold any resentment against them and that we want harmony one with another. And that harmony is what Christ wants with his brothers and sisters in the Lord, that we are in harmony, praising him and glorifying him for what he has done on Calvary's cross. And it is what he has done on Calvary's cross that saves us as sinners, because we accept what he has done and we realize that he is the one sent by God and that God loved us so much that in sending his only begotten son, he was willing to die for us, and we should then be willing to stand up for him each day. In James, it would tell us like this: brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death. And not only death physically, but also eternal death, which would be hell and complete rejection from Christ. And he has covered a multitude of sins, it tells us in James. And we see that we should be willing to let them know that they have helped me or you or whoever the case might be to come away from walking in sin and walking with the Lord Jesus and having him in as our Lord and Savior. We do that in harmony, in truth, in the purity of the Word of God, and we see that it happens when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us and convicts us of our sin. And when he convicts us of our sin and our wrong, we can then go to our brother or sister in the Lord and do it in simplicity, gentleness, and in the meekness of Jesus Christ, that he has given us the discernment in which we can live and do his will at all times in our lives. And we can see that so very, very plainly too. And as we see this, we see that we not only have that forgiveness of sins, but that we will live for him day by day, and we won't be looking at ourselves and saying, poor me. How is it that these things happen to me all the time and nobody seems to take notice? And we take and we want all of the sympathy, if it were, poured on ourselves instead of on what Christ has done for us. I've said it before, and I guess I'll say it many more times probably, but I had a man that worked for me when I was with the airlines, and he did everything he could to try and get me fired. And I saved his job, if you would put it that way, at least twice. And sometime later, he came and he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And he says, you know, I have watched you over the years, and you know, you've always had that peace about you, the peace which God gives you, and that the peace of understanding which only a Christian can have. I want what you got. And he accepted Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And I have thought many times, why did I keep him from getting fired when I guess I would say like Paul, he was a thorn in my side, because he was doing everything that I didn't want him to do and that he shouldn't be doing. And yet he would keep on and on doing this. And yet, if I had let him get fired, would he have accepted Christ? My guess is that he wouldn't have, because then he would have looked at it and he would have said, you are supposed to be a Christian and you didn't put up with anything that I did. And yet, by putting up with it and showing God's love to him, ever so small as it might be, without telling him and reprimanding him deeply, he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And he did die from cancer shortly after that. But I think about that and I say, Lord, you have a way of working amongst your people. And you have a way of helping your people in the situation each day. That as we have these situations come up before us, that we need your strength in order to overcome them. And we need your guidance and your discernment in order to have the right words to say and how to work with our fellow employees and fellow man in our jobs each day also. And we have many people that many times will purposely pick on you because you profess to be a Christian. And yet, God, Jesus is saying, forgive them of their sins. He is saying, you know, if you will forgive them, then maybe they will hear the Spirit of God speaking to them and that they will accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And he tells us, he says, you know, if two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And if I think most all of us can speak on this here, that as we have met in small groups or even in large groups, and I've noticed it very plainly in our Bible studies, I feel that the Spirit of God is moving a mighty way amongst us, because as we talk and discuss the things going on, in not only we finished the book of Revelation now, but even amongst the things in the world, we see that God is enlightening us and opening our eyes to see the things and the signs of the time that is going on today in this world, and that the nearness of his coming is so close. And we see all of these things coming together at the same time. We see wars and rumors of wars, and we see storms and sicknesses all coming together at the same time. And to me, it shows that the nearness of God is much nearer than when these things started. And we're seeing it, I believe, more and more today. ISIS has made a vow against the United States, and they did it 2 years ago, and they said, we will overtake the United States, and we will have something happen in the United States that will make 9/11 look like peanuts. And I don't know what it is, but you can bet that our FBI and our CIA is doing everything they can to protect us. And I believe even with all the wrongs that they maybe have done, they are still watching out for us. And they're trying to keep the terrorists, if you want to call it that, from taking over. And yet we see that they claim that they will take our flag down and that they will put their own up over the White House. And we see this happening more and more as the people in the United States are growing blind in many cases, and they think it's okay. They do not realize how terrible this is, how that if you do not profess to be Islamic or Muhammad, that you are subject to die. And as Christians, you are one on the front lines to be killed because you have Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you are Jewish or Christian, you are number one and two to be eliminated because of your belief. And this is what Christ told us would happen, because Satan is coming into the world and he's trying to rule the whole world, and he wants to do away with everything that God has made and what God has done. And Satan wants to destroy everything and any remembrance of Jesus Christ. Yet God has given us the not only the unction, but he has given us his love, that he will be with us, even though we may have to give our lives or whatever to him. We see a time coming when Satan is going to control the world, or thinks he's controlling it, and he will have a mark in which a person will have to take that's living at that time to buy or sell. And yet Jesus says, he who endures to the end will be saved. You see, Peter had wanted to know, how many times should I forgive my brother? And he says, seven times. He was being very liberal, because back in those days, the rabbis would say, if you forgive someone three times, you've done your duty. You've forgiven them all that you have to forgive them for. And yet Jesus says, 70 times seven. And you know, when Peter asked about seven times, he was feeling he was being real liberal about it, I believe. And yet Christ says, continue forgiving them if they do you wrong. But at the same time, continue upholding your belief and your strength in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And we will see that the Spirit of God can move mightily amongst each one of us. And if we don't have Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we should be kneeling and bowing our heads and saying, Lord, come into my heart today and save me from my sin, and help me to live for you day by day, because you are the one that has died for me on Calvary's cross, and you shed your blood for me. You rose again, and now you're making intercession for me in heaven. And we would see Jesus telling us this, that he would be willing to forgive us our sins. When he died on Calvary's cross, he cried and he says, Father, forgive them of this deed. They do not realize what they're doing. In Mark chapter 1, verses 25 and 26, we read it like this. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you of your trespasses. And as we pray the Lord's Prayer every week, we say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Do we realize that we're asking God to forgive us of our sins only as we forgive those who have sinned against us? And that we are only saying it in word? Or do we mean it? You see, in the creed where Christ came and died, and he's buried and rose again from the dead, and he's coming to judge the living and the dead. And when he comes, he says, I will bring with me my reward for everyone. And if you have done bad, you will receive the reward of bad, which is Satan, which is hell. And if you have done good, you will receive eternal life. Which way do you want it? Which way do I want it? When Stephen died, he says, Lord, do not lay this sin to their charge. What he was saying is, Lord, these people have sinned and they're blind. They don't realize that they're sinning against God. And yet Stephen, he looked up and he seen Jesus Christ on the right hand of God the Father before he fell asleep, and he knew where he was going. And we are then to forgive others if we want to be forgiven by God the Father ourselves. And we should be willing to give our all and follow Christ day by day in our work, in our relaxing time, but that it is not us, it's Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus has told us, you know, go out into the world and be the light of the world. And in this light, you will see that you are being the light of the world, and people will see God in you, and they will glorify God, not you, but they will glorify God because you have the peace and the understanding of what Christ has done for you as he died for you and gave you peace through his death on the cross, and that he gives you the peace which surpasses all understanding. And as we meet and as we worship him, we should realize and be thankful that he has given us the freedom in which we can read the scripture, that we can study the scripture, and that we can see what he has to say to us each step of the way. We can also feel then that we are forgiven because we are repentant of our sins. And if someone, our brother or sister, comes to us many times and they have done something against us, and they are sincerely repentant in Christ of what they have done, we are to forgive them, and we are to continue loving them in Christ Jesus and as our brother and sister in the Lord. And prayer, praise, and thanksgiving can be made known unto God for all things because he has done for us, how he loved us, and how he gave his only begotten Son, that we can be saved and have that freedom and have that eternal life waiting for us as he calls us out of this world. And for many of us, it might be close. Many of us, it might be a while. Yet we do know that he is going to call each one of us out of here, and we will receive our reward with him. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be with each one of us and keep us in your care. Help us, O Lord, as we go throughout this day and this week, that we would proclaim you and you alone in all our glory, and the glory would be to you and not to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 280.